Live from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and the callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Welcome to Chatterbox Video Game Radio, everybody. This is Nate's first week back with us in a month.
I'm
Can
back
you believe that?
After my vacation.
Yeah, it has been a long, long time.
Yeah.
But I'm so happy that you're back. It'll certainly make it a lot easier for me to do the show now that I'm not alone. Although I got to say, our listeners did a really great job of keeping me company while you were away. They called in, and we had some not horrible shows while you were away.
That's great.
Of course, we'll maybe survey everyone and see if they think the shows suck, but I don't think they were horrible. So I'm glad that everyone stuck with us during Nate's break, and now he's back. That's fantastic. I'm going to start off. We got a lot of stuff to cover, housekeeping issues, so I want to get this out of the way. First of all, chatterboxgameshow.com has always been our website, our domain, our URL, if you will. And now we have a couple more. If you want to go to Chatterboxer or chatterboxers.com, might make it easier for everybody. Spread the word, spread the love. If you're a listener, you're a Chatterboxer, and go to chatterboxers.com.
Well, with the new, address, new website.
We got a new website. They come together in pairs or triplets even. So here's the three bits of news. There's the new URLs. There's the new website, of course. On the new website, you can even go shopping. It's fantastic. You want to buy a game?
I saw that.
You want to buy a game from Amazon? People say, hey, how can we help out Chatterbox? We know you guys don't want to put up a donation link on the site or anything. I've never wanted to do that. I don't know. Nate wonders why I don't want to do that. Just like, I don't want to. I'll find another way. And so if anybody wants to help us out, if you're going to buy a game anyway, go to our website. You can buy it through Amazon, buy it through Best Buy. We prefer Amazon. But either one. And
Now, is it just games on Amazon?
No, you
or
can
is
buy
it anything.
See, that part of the shop is still in development, part of the website. But
oh, okay.
I'm going to put a search box so you can buy whatever you want. And right now, there's even a link to just to Amazon. If you went there, whatever you bought would be great. It would help us out. Kind of like Google Ads. If you click on the ads, we get money. If you buy stuff on Amazon, we'll get something that'll help us to keep the show alive for longer. Now, the third bit of news that goes along with everything new at Chatterbox is allgames.com. We're not officially on there yet. They're starting out their big rollout with marketing, whatever, soon. But we are going to be in the All Games network. That's allgames.com. There's some people over there who do some wonderful things. So if you want to go to allgames.com, soon enough you'll be able to hear Chatterbox over there along with a bunch of music and other podcasts. And I'm also going to put some links to the All Games Network podcast on our site. So you'll be able to keep up on our site, go to allgames.com, whatever you want. But it's going to be a great network of gaming happiness. So hopefully you'll visit them and agree that they're not horrible, just like we're not absolutely horrible.
That's right. Right?
Is that our new tagline?
Not
that horrible. We keep adding more. We should do a top 20 list next time instead of just top 10. All right, so here's what's going on with today's show. We want to talk about a few different things. Nate, now you told me you want to talk about micropayments. You want to talk about the Senate hearings. I want to talk about gaming pride. What do you think was going to be the official list?
Actually, I'm kind of stepping off the Senate committee hearing meeting.
You put all sorts of work in that.
I did put a lot of work in it. But, you know, I didn't have a printer today. So if you're in the studio, and I know only Alon is, but if the rest of our listeners were, they would see that I'm looking at a notebook. Because I had to write down my stuff. And it was very bullet pointy and trying to save me a lot of time because I had a lot of written up.
I have your Senate hearings printout.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, well, then we probably can talk about that.
All right. So we'll talk about Senate hearings. I do want to talk about micropayments as well, though. The new Oblivion thing got people up in arms, just like I've been complaining about it since day one.
Yeah.
But whatever. I love Xbox Live anyway. I've been playing it a lot this week while you were away. I was thieving your Xbox 360 that you left at my house.
That's right. I'm actually going to have to get that back from you sometime.
Yeah. Once you get that back, you're going to see there's a bunch of Stave stuff all over your hard drive, my profiles all over the place. It's going to be fantastic. But what I want to talk about today is gaming pride. So we're going to cover that in the third segment of the show. I realized a few things this week talking to a friend of mine, so I'm going to talk about that. And I'm curious to know of the listeners, if you want to call us at 866-536-1100, tell me what you think. Do you have gamer pride? Do you think it's a good thing? Do you take shame in being a gamer, or are you prideful about it? I want to hear your opinions on the subject, because I sort of flip-flop on my opinions, and I don't know if it has something to do with the company I'm in. Do I change, and I'm embarrassed about being a gamer at some points?
Well, has it also become with the media? You know, is a gamer a four-letter word? Is it derogatory now?
Well, it used to be, and now it's less so. And so I think I'm more proud of being a gamer than ever, especially now that we have our, you know, hardcore fans listening, so I can feel like I've got friends.
Yep.
I try not to be that shallow, where I would change my opinions based on who I'm around. But I think everybody does it to a certain extent. Try to pretend I'm not a super geek when I'm in the presence of, you know, people who don't play games or something.
Geeks.
But hopefully that's not true. For my karma, I want to think that I would be proud no matter who I talk to. So that's what we'll be covering today. And as always, we'll have Nathan Smart with us for another Smart Attack. Last week was a little bit fumbled.
Was it?
A little bit fumbled. We had a recording of Nate. I was trying to pretend it was real. But it turned out all right. And we're going to have him again this week, so that's going to be fantastic. All right. So now, the real start of the show. Talk about what we've been playing. I talked, I think, last week about how I got Beatmania. I played some Beatmania. Played some more. It's still okay. It's still good. It's not the greatest game on the planet. It's no Guitar Hero. I keep getting better at Guitar Hero, by the way. I didn't think it was possible, but I keep breaking scores. It's great. What I did play, though, totally new, on your Xbox, I played Wick. Have you seen Wick on Xbox Live Arcade?
I don't think so. It was around when I had it. I've only played, I believe...
It's a new one.
Kama, or the frog. He shoots balls at things. And
it's Zuma.
Geometry War. Zuma, is that it?
Zuma, right. Which, by the way, went by different names at different times. That sort of game has been around for years.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But what was the other one you said?
Geometry Wars. And then, it's like Zombie Room. I'm horrible at names, but... Basically, you just, like, shoot zombies in rooms, and you go on to the next room.
On Xbox Live, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Wick is a new one, and I saw it because it was like, hey, you should play this, the new good game on Xbox Live. They've got the little window that advertises a specific game. It's really good. So, like, I'm starting to wish I had a 360, because I want to use it just for Xbox Live. I want to download demo of Tomb Raider Legend and not have to buy it. I want to, download all the Xbox Live Arcade games. I think I would have more fun... and spend more time playing the live arcade games because it suits my tastes, which is another thing I'll be talking about regarding gaming pride.
When I had finished Condemned and my Call of Duty CD was still broken,
pretty much
all I did was Xbox Live when I actually sat down. I plugged it in, and downloaded a ton of stuff. But I'm one of those guys that as soon as I get stuff on my hard drive, it's like, ooh, I've used up like 4 megs of space. I got to delete everything.
Uh-oh. Yeah, I noticed there wasn't much on there now.
Yeah, I would delete it every time I was done.
You know, there's a new device by Daytel. It sits between the Xbox 360 and the hard drive, just a real thin little piece. And it has a USB connector on it. So you can connect it to your computer and then download all the save stuff that you have, put it on your computer hard drive so you're not using up your Xbox Live
hard
drive space. Yeah, so that's sort of cool. If you want to store all your games, not have to download them again. Not that it matters, since you could download them anytime.
Yeah.
But, another thing I noticed, a totally different note regarding Xbox Live. So I got Burnout Revenge for the 360, even though I don't have one. And it says it gives you a free 48-hour demo of Xbox Live Gold. I'm not sure if you recall, but do you? We used to get 2 months for free, right? Not 2 days.
They're shrinking it down. It's like the free weekend.
That's literally 30 times as much we used to get. I don't understand it. Like, if 1 month is $6, is it $6 or $5?
Something like that.
What's 2 days, right? And aren't you supposed to be a play on a weekend for free? That's what we heard. Before Xbox was out, they said, or 360, they said that you'd be able to play on weekends for free, but not during the week.
I believe it was last weekend. I might be wrong.
There was a free weekend.
It was either last weekend or weekend before that.
I think it was last weekend.
Okay.
Free gamer weekend.
Yeah.
But I swear that they said the weekends were going to be free Xbox Live Gold.
Well, that was when the hype was going strong.
Yeah.
Now, not so much.
You realize everyone's only going to play on the weekend. Anyway, a little bit strange. I don't understand why there's only 2 days free anymore. That seems a little bit chintzy on Microsoft's part, but whatever.
They're trying to draw you in.
Maybe other games will give away a whole month, and that'll be the cool edition.
Yeah.
But, anyway, that bugged me, and I was reminded of that when I was playing Burnout Revenge and had to rip open the cellophane. But back to Wick, all right? Wick, Xbox Live Arcade, fantastic game. You're a dude, but you're a frog. Not like the Zuma frog, tiny little frog, but like you swing around. And when I played it, I only played one player. But when you leave an Xbox Live Arcade game that you haven't bought, it shows you like what you can do with the full game. It was amazing. Like, you could play multiplayer. You can stick your tongue into all sorts of things in the environment, and then there's all these bats that come out, or flies or something, and they all stick to your tongue, and then you swallow them, right? But then you can, or you put them in your mouth, you can shoot them out at other flies. You get, like, this screen full of crap that you're spitting out, not just, like, one little shot. You got to collect these little grubs, and I don't know. It's just so much fun. If you can hear the enthusiasm in my voice, you should definitely try out Wick. I think it's called, like, Wick the Fable Soul or something. Some stupid subtitle name, but Wick is the name of the real game. And it's really good and can play multiplayer, so... So that's pretty cool. I think that's about it. I also noticed this week that Odama is finally actually coming out.
Yeah, I heard about that.
For the GameCube. Like, it's supposed to be out, I guess it releases tomorrow and will be in stores on Tuesday. But that's pretty darn cool. I put it up on our website, the We Wanna Play area, because I'm so excited that it's actually coming out.
New content for the website. I didn't even know about it. It's that new.
Yeah, just put it up a couple hours ago. There's the What We're Playing section and the What We Wanna Play.
Oh.
So, like, obviously, if you're buying the What We Wanna Play game, then we can't guarantee it's good. But if you go to the store, it's only games that we know are good. If you're buying a game from Chatterbox, you're going to have a good time. Anyway, so Odama's finally coming out. This weird Japanese feudal war simulator with a pinball and a microphone. It's weird. It's like pinball and Japanese samurai. Not samurai, but it's good.
It's, yeah.
It's weird. It's
armies with pinball action.
I also heard from my friend who has a Nintendo rep as a girlfriend that he's already been playing it, and it's really hard. So, anyway, we'll be back after this break. Start talking about our real stuff, industry editorials, right when we come back. Welcome back, everybody. Chatterbox Video Game Radio back up for the second segment. My name's Alon Weissman, and we've got Nate Vig here with me in the studio.
Back.
So glad to be back.
Finally.
I hope you're glad to be back. I'm glad that you're back.
I'm ecstatic.
If that means anything. All right, so everybody, go to chatterboxers.com, and one thing you can do there is go to the Live Chatter Room link in the main menu. When you go to Live Chatter Room, it opens up an IRC chat client. For those who don't know what IRC is, it doesn't matter. You can chat with people who are listening to the show live, listen to it right now, and see such excellent gems of information, like the fact that Wick, like I was just talking about for Xbox Live Arcade, is actually for the PC as well. And someone put a link up, Wick Game, that's WIKGAME, and you can download, I assume, the demo, not the whole game, right there on the PC. So I would tell you, get a controller with dual analogs on it, because I don't know how you would play that without it, at least not well.
I would suggest a 360.
Yeah, the Xbox 360 wired controller.
The corded controller.
If you get it without a cord, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
Or the wireless one with the plug-in charge won't work. Got to have the corded
Sometimes
controller.
Sometimes the wireless one doesn't even work with the 360.
Yeah, I think that's because you didn't know you got to press all the wireless buttons on the machine and the controller at the same
time.
There
was a lot.
You
got to
hold the wireless button on the machine right next to the memory card port. You got to hold the wireless button on the controller at the same time and so that they sync up.
That seems very difficult.
Well, the other day we had three Xbox 360s in my house when we were playing Ghost Recon. I think it was Friday night. And so, like, if I was trying to set up a controller in one room, the next room it could have been set up on that machine, too. So that's why you got to hold them both. And I think you just didn't know how to use them. And that's why you thought they were broken.
Listen, I press the button and it should work. I'm not a rocket scientist.
All right. All right, sorry, dude.
Yeah.
I just think that's what was up. Before we move on, Nate's going to talk about his thing. Want to remind everybody, go to uat.edu. I know chatterboxers.com is probably stealing a lot of your attention, but uat.edu, University of Advanced Technology, there's a lot of information there on how to get into the industry, how to go to school and learn how to do everything you need to do. All right, Nate, let's start this up.
I was going to talk about the Senate hearing that they had, but then, no, I'm not sure if people are up on the latest legislation news, but the Michigan bill is dead. And pretty much it was the courts ruled, or the quote is, research conducted by the state has failed to prove that video games have ever caused anyone to commit violent acts, let alone present a danger of imminent violence. And just because of this, now this gives precedence to every other case that will ever happen to bring up a law. And pretty much from this, I can see your point now that we don't need to think about this anymore. Because a judge said this and ruled on this, we don't have to worry about it anymore.
Well, here's the problem with that. We've got Hillary Clinton pushing the CDC to do a study to prove that there is direct correlation.
Well, I will... from the Senate committee, Dimitri Williams, assistant professor... I don't know why he's assistant professor. But he's assistant professor at the University of Illinois. But he pretty much said that the way the tests are done now, they're done at a very short interval. So they have someone play for like between 10 to a half hour, and they're probably not really reading, you know, like people actually getting angry. I got to look at my, I wish I had a computer then.
Scanning his notes.
They're probably measuring excitement and not violence and arousal, not aggression. So, you know, he also claims that you can pretty much get the same result with a Frisbee.
Yeah.
You know, if you hook diodes up to people and they start playing Frisbee, they're going to, you know, the activities in their brain is going to freak out. And it's like, oh, these people are getting very angry and they could you know, start causing mad damage with frisbees.
Yeah, I think what they're looking to do, though, is do a much larger study with more people over longer time periods, like over the youth development stages of a child, not like a month, but 18 years.
He goes to point out that there's two studies right now on one game that shows short play time results in great effect with, regards to what these people are trying to show, correlation equals causation. But with longer studies, pretty much all these effects are pretty much gone. So all this, anger and hatred that people build up in getting trained with playing,
biology
games.
You mean there's more time given after they played the game?
Actually, the longer they play, the less, these, effects show.
Okay. It's hard to understand because there's so many different ways to run a test, right? Different things that it could mean. But I suspect what they want to do is basically take a large group of people, have them say, all right, these kids played happy games, and these kids played violent games, and these kids, ended up to be mass murderers or something. It would be, no matter what, I think very hard to discover this sort of issue. Plus the fact that you're exposed to the rest of the world, the rest of the environment, and so you could be watching violent newscasts or violent anything.
Well, that's not immersive, so that's different.
Yeah, but then there's still no way to prove that it's not this other media. And there's actually something I just saw, I think it was on Game Politics, about the lady Brenda who did the Section Games panel at GDC. She was talking about someone had pointed out the fact that the ESRB, I guess there's some rule somewhere. I keep track of this so little, like you want to now.
Yeah.
That I guess they're pushing that the ESRB labels need to be like 3 inches by 3 inches, which is more than 50% of a DS case, at least the back of it. And then she pointed out, if you look at Shaun of the Dead as an example, a DVD, right? There's a tiny little banner, one line that says like zombie violence and whatever, and the letter R. And it's hard to read because it's black on black font on a red background. She's like, there's this tiny little thing, and like there's not a scene that goes by without someone like drinking alcohol, eating brains, or like killing somebody in that movie.
Yeah.
But the ESRB needs to be 3 inches black on white. Can't miss it if you drive by a store.
Yeah.
You're gonna see the label on every game, and makes that point. Like, you know what? There's some other stuff. Maybe we need to be.
Actually, on a side note, I want to do this just so I can say that I was right and you were wrong, because I love doing that.
Yeah, I do too.
But a long time ago, we were talking about hot coffee and how you said it wasn't important that the ESRB didn't need to know that the hot coffee mod was actually in there. And I sat on a round table. I don't have actual name of the round table, but Bill Garrett, I believe his name, he hosted it. But he was a manager of testing for the ESRB, or rating, rather. And I asked the question. He, pretty much said to us that even though you don't actually play it, the fact that it's on the game disc and that it is, in the media, they have to report everything.
Well, now they do. After Hot Coffee, they do. Before that rule wasn't in place.
The way he said it, it sounded like it always was in place.
I think it may have been one of those things that some people think and some people don't, but isn't actually written down in the letter of the law.
Could possibly
but
be.
I do remember reading that after Hot Coffee, they said, all right, now it's explicit. Any content on the disc needs to be displayed. Hmm. I still disagree with it. I think it's idiotic, but whatever. I guess if you know about it, you can tell them about it. There's certainly no reason to hide anything.
Yeah.
I don't think they should be held accountable for not doing it before.
I mean, the roundtable was very enlightening. I still think that the way they actually test games is a little off because they're rating them in a passive sense because they don't actually play the game.
They just watch a video.
They just send a DVD now before they had to send VHS tapes, but they actually have they watch it, and I just couldn't, how do you rate watching it? Because
you see a lot of the content of the game. I can understand that.
But they had a real problem with, they were rating The Punisher. Now, it was interactive, but they were watching it. So they were watching someone else play an interactive portion of, I believe they were dipping a head's guy into like a pool of piranhas or something like that. But it was just like, how can you rate, gauge that by watching it? You should really be...
Well, because what they're doing is rating the content. They're not rating the controllability. They're not rating the fun.
I know, but even with the content, I mean, I don't understand how they could not play it. Just by watching it, it's one thing to watch it and one thing to play it and understand what's it about.
I agree it's a different experience, but you got to look at what they're doing. They just need to write on the box, this has violence, this has blood, this has sex. And so as long as they can see and hear the game, they get... their point across.
Well, then there shouldn't be a problem, because then they can just have a checklist that all,
Oh, they do. I mean, I haven't seen the form that ESRB uses, but I know they have a list of, like, verbiage. Like, this has graphic violence, and this has explicit sex.
Then they should just be able to say, well, all M games have this, and all, you know, everyone games have this in it.
Well, they're trying to be more specific. Say, it is M because of this, because some parents would be like, well, I don't mind the violence, but I mind the sex, or vice versa, which is, you know, more accurate for a parent who's not an idiot. You know, I don't mind sex, but I do mind violence, those sort of things. And so it helps you gauge if the game's good, even if it's M, you might censor some and not the others. Anyway, we'll be back. I'm going to talk about gaming pride. Call us, everybody. 866-536-1100. You just talked about politics, Nate.
Yay!
You didn't talk about micropayments.
I know, I didn't.
We'll be
back. Next week.
We'll be back in just a couple minutes. Back once again, Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Go to Chatterbox Game Show or chatterboxers.com to see what we're all about. You can also chat live with listeners of the show who are listening right now. Of course, if you're listening on a podcast, well, then you can't do that. But you can always go to the chat room anyway and just hope someone will pop by. So I'm here with Nate, as always. And
Not always.
Yeah, last 3 weeks.
As of lately.
But in the future, you'll be back. And okay, so I want to talk about gaming pride, and this might confuse people. What do I mean? What do I mean by gaming pride? And this is what I mean. I grew up. I was a lonely little nerd boy, and I developed this feeling that games are bad. I shouldn't be playing games. I play them because I got nothing else to do, but, you know, I go out in the real world. I'm older. I'm out at, well, I'm not really out of bars often, but anyway, games aren't what I should be doing with my time, and I realized I want to feel good about games, and I have for quite a while now, but like it really needs to sink in sometimes. And so I want to talk about a few other things. It's sort of like off the topic. Not off the topic, but it's tangential. Can I say that? Does that make sense?
Is that
to
even
you?
A word?
It is.
Okay.
I just don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. But I had a conversation recently, and forgive me if the slide's slightly off topic for a bit. Talked to my buddy who was over, and he said, you know, you guys could make a much better show than what's airing on G4 right now. And, you know, put a bunch of chicks in bikinis playing games in the show, and you have the show you already do, and you hit all audiences. It'd get gamers, it'd get not-so-gamers, and it'd be great. And I immediately, you know, I disagreed because I was just really disgusted by the idea. I remembered this crappy gaming show on Spike TV, and I'm going to hope it's not the one that has our friend Jeff Keighley on it, because I know one of them does.
Oh, you're not talking about, like, Fathead Radio or something.
I don't remember.
Head Games or something
like
that.
It might be his. Let's pretend okay. I think it's the other one.
No, it's the other one. It's not that one. It's the one.
It must be the one that he's not on.
It's the one that has a monkey on it. I think that's the one you're talking about.
But anyway, it had this hot chick, supposed hot chick, and she wasn't fat, right? But she was pretending that she was having a really, really good time in that gaming chair. I don't know if you've seen this. It's like a big leather recliner-ish thing. It has two joysticks on it. I think they had it in the 40-Year-Old Virgin movie.
Yes, they did.
And we saw it at last year's GDC. So anyway, they had this girl in that, and she was pretending like she was having such a great time in the vibrating chair. And, I just hated it when I saw that show because it was just a bikini show masquerading as a game show. It had nothing to do with games, and it was badly written jokes. It was a guy who was obviously a gamer because he looked like a giant loser, right? Can I make that stereotype? This is what I'm trying
sure.
to get out of, right?
All right.
It just, That particular segment, at least, wasn't any good. I don't know about the rest of the show. That's the part I tuned in for, because I like chicks in bikinis. But I was disgusted by the idea. So my friend mentions this, that we should do that. And I just, I mean, let me know if I'm off base here, but I really believe that the hardcore people like us would be offended by a cheap stunt like that and not want to watch the show for that reason. Like, you might watch it once for a second, but like, no, that show's crap. When we see people on G4 or Tech TV and we don't believe that they really like games, we all think, that's a crappy show. I should be on that show. Someone who knows about games should be on that show, and I wouldn't want to watch it. And so I'm curious what other people think about this. And, I mean, I really believe that if you do that sort of thing, you're going to get gamers hating you for it. And this is where I lead into gamer pride. I feel that way because I've got gamer pride. Because I feel, no, like I'm part of this community. I'm part of real gamers. And when I see these fake idiot people on TV who are hired because they're cute and because they have boobs, I don't want to see them, and I'm not interested in that sort of thing. So I'm curious also how that might lead to marketing across the industry.
Well, I mean, to play devil's advocate, you know, those companies that are putting on those shows, they're not really gamers, or I don't, at least I don't, in my mind, I see, you know, a guy that's 50-year-old, he's in a suit, and he's, like, smoking a cigar, and he's bald, and he's like, we need to put on a new show, and then, you know, they, let's go through some photos, and, well, she's cute, and that guy looks like he surfs, so let's, you know, slap a show together.
See, now, I don't know, but I think it's more like you get someone basically like us who gets a camera in their hand, they make a show, and then you sell it to the network. They're like, yeah, this is good enough for this time slot, 2 a.m, this'll work. And I think it really is these guys just thinking they need to put some girls in bikinis and have them playing a game. And, like, that's one of the reasons that I don't remember her name right now. Why can't I remember her name? The chick on X-Play, who everybody loves.
Oh, Morgan.
Morgan Webb.
Yeah.
All right. So, like, she's not some Hollywood hot whore-like queen, right? She doesn't have that visual quality. She's not a hot babe. But, like, the fact that we know she really does like games, even though if sometimes it doesn't seem like that on her show because of the bad writing.
Yeah.
I'm convinced that she actually does play games. Even if she doesn't like them, she plays them for her job. I'm sure she likes them, though. And she meets our minimum requirements for doability. So you add that to the fact that they can make her up like a doll in Maxim magazine or FHM, and she plays games, and she's super geek hot. Right? And that's cool. I'm fine with that.
Can you define geek hot for me?
You know what it is. Geek hot. You know, not the giant boobs and the thin waist and the high, you know, wide hips and whatever, but, like, still hot enough to qualify. Clear skin, you know.
Okay.
This isn't a man's show. This is a game show.
Game show. All right.
But you understand what I'm saying. There's geek chic, and then there's, you know, Hollywood whore with the fake nose and the fake chin and the fake boobs and the fake everything. And so, like, the hardcore gamers who appreciate gaming and gaming media go more for, like, a Morgan Webb than, you know, a Carmen Electra. Not that I would turn either of them down.
All right.
But I think you understand my point.
I
don't want to see Carmen Electra playing video games on TV. I want to see Morgan Webb because I believe it. And there's a certain...
I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Okay, good. Good. I don't have to move on. So anyway, I realized this recently that, like, I have this pride about me that I'm a gamer and I don't want to see that sort of crap. And it leads me into also thinking, you know, I want to feel good about games, and I want to play the games that I want to play, and I feel like I can have gamer pride and still represent the hardcore gaming community, and this is on a totally separate, like, hardcore gaming subject. Forget about girls. I used to think I had to play every type of game to be a gamer. Like, I had to know about RTS games, and I had to know about Halo, and I had to know about everything and be good at them all to be a gamer. Nate's giving me this look like, what, are you nuts?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I should have realized this a long time ago. I just didn't. Right?
Okay.
And I think there are some of us, like, there's some people in the same boat as me, right? That they feel they're a gamer, they have to know everything about everything in games. And I was like, all right, I know consoles, I don't know PC. I made that submission a long time ago.
All right.
Fine. But then, like, I realized, you know what? I don't know a lot about RTS games. The same guy who mentioned I should have girls on TV, right, to make a good show, he's like, I'm really good at RTSs. That's where I excel. I'm like, you know what? RTS is not my bag. I'm not that good at anything with strategy, like first-person shooter, capture the flag, RTS games.
Anything that does involve just running up and shooting things.
Yeah, if it's not, like, action-based, if it's not just me making decisions on my own, I'm not good at it.
I don't know. I guess my personal experience is I'm the guy that I really like games, and I like playing games, not good at any games. Like, you know, you get me in front of... You don't want me on your team when we play, pretty much, because I'm either lost, or I'm shooting at my own teammates, or, you know, I'm sending my guys totally in the wrong place, and, you know, I'm just very bad.
Yeah, and I'm that way in team-based games. And so, I don't want to be on someone's team. I just want to, you know, deathmatch and kick their butt.
The ironic thing, though, is whenever if it's the first game I've ever played, or if there's a bunch of us and we play right away and no one has played, I excel for that first, like, 4 minutes.
Because you've got that experience,
I got the experience of, you know, I can just kind of kill them. And then I get swamped.
Yeah, and that's like, I was playing Cameo with the same guy I was talking to, right, yesterday. And, on your 360, and he's like, wow, you're really good at this, because he's older than I am, and he doesn't have the gaming experience under his belt that I do. I'm like, no, I'm not particularly good. It's just, like, I know a lot of the basics of gameplay. I know that, like, when you see this type of thing, you can do this sort of action on it. And I know, like, when you walk up to this, there's context sensitivity, and, like, you know, you press A, and it'll do something sometimes when you're near the right thing. And so, like, I just understand the basics, and so I can pick up quickly. But then when you know, like, I always say, like, I'm better than most people at most things, but I'm not like really, really good at any particular thing, right? So I'll be real good when I first pick up a game, just like you're saying about. But not if like if I sit down and play it for 10 hours, there's going to be a whole bunch of people who whip my butt with the same amount of experience because they just excel. But getting back to the pride thing, I was like, I'm going to be happy that I play music games and I play action adventure games like Mario and Cameo and stuff and puzzle games and like the quick arcade style games like Wick, Fable Souls that I was talking about. I'm really good at those games and I really like them. And I don't have to like Barbie's Horse Racing. I don't have to like Age of Empires, you know, to consider myself a gamer, right? And I just feel good about that. I'm oozing confidence now.
All right.
That I don't care. I'm good at Guitar Hero and that's all I need.
See, I kind of, for the other, I guess the other spectrum where I really don't know a whole lot. Like, I don't know all the history because I have a very bad memory. Very bad memory for, like, names and, like, dates and stuff like that. So I'll understand, oh, yeah, there's this game that does this, but I don't know that it's, you know,
it's good in your head, just not when you try to convey it to others.
Yeah, like, oh, it's all up there, but once I start talking, it makes me sound, you know, kind of like a four-year-old imbecile.
Yeah,
like,
you have this breakdown when you're trying to express things.
Yes, I do.
A little bit.
I'm much better on paper,
okay.
Although I can't spell.
Very concise in your notebook there. I can see that. I appreciate it. So I can see your point. I do. I just, I want to hear from other people, and we're going to take some calls because we're just about at the end of this break, but, we've got someone waiting on the line to talk to us. If other people want to call in at 866-536, we'll bring you on after the Smart Attack, which comes after this break. But yeah, I want to hear what you think about gamer pride. Are you embarrassed? When the family reunion happens, do you pretend you don't play games?
Well, I can remember one incident. We're going to run out of time.
Go ahead.
But we were at Poker Pub, and we were talking to a lady, and we happened to say, oh, we host a radio show. And she said, oh, really? And we said, what's it about? Video games. Oh, well, that's cool.
Yeah. All right, on that note, we'll be right back after this, everybody. Back again for the final segment today, Chatterbox Video Game Radio with Alon and Nate. Also, coming up in just a second, we're going to have Nathan, a different Nate, Nathan Smart from the Game
S-Man.
Rag. The S-Man?
Yeah.
All right. We're coming in for a Smart Attack in just a second. I do want to remind everybody, you just heard a commercial for UAT, UAT.edu, University of Advancing Technology. Place to go if you want to get into the industry by going to school for it. All right, so here it is. We're going to bring on Nathan Smart for the Smart Attack. I really like what he has to say this week.
E3! It's almost E3 time, guys. Really excited about this year because I finally get to go. Thanks to my Nobel Peace Prize winning work on the Game Rag. That's right, no Pulitzer for me. The Game Rag causes peace! And now, thanks to that work, I've been invited to attend the mother of all video game convention mothers, and I can hardly wait. This is the year to go, too. This is the year that Nintendo gives up on the American public and goes all Japanese on us. This is the year that Sony bankrupts the entire country. This is the year that Microsoft buys a company and announces a futuristic first-person shooter. This is the year that Mad Catz releases a new controller. This is the year that Squaresoft demos a Final Fantasy game. This is the year that Capcom upgrades one of its classic franchises. This is the year that Konami releases the new Metal Gear Solid game. This is the year Nintendo releases a new handheld. This is the year that Sony unveils new mouth-watering full-motion video clips. This is the year to hold on to, and we won't, although we'll want to. This is the year that Ubisoft reveals a new anything. This is the year that Reggie Fils-Aimé scares the crap out of us and then tells us it's going to be okay and we go back to him even though we're really afraid that he might hurt us again, but we still love him and we can't bear to leave him. This is the year of the vengeance of our God. This is the year that people without IGN Insider accounts get to see the video game streams anyway. This is the year that Blizzard gives up on the Warcraft series. This is the year that Mark Rain actually marries his own ego. This is the year that Bill Gates plays video games for the first time. This is the year that Alon regains his virginity. This is the year that Julie shows up. This is the year that Nate plays video games for the first time. This is the year that Guitar Hero rocks my world. This is the year that Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion rocks my world. This is the year that women love Nathan Smart. This is the year that you will give me $1 million in unmarked bills and leave it at the counter at Starbucks at Johns Hopkins International Airport in Cleveland. This is the year that video games get violent. This is the year that political figures hate on video games. This is the year that Japanese people speak Japanese and Americans speak English. This is the year, people. Things are going to change. Things will be different this time. This is the frickin' year of E3. Alan?
Yeah, I'm not so sure about your pronunciation of Reggie's last name, but then again, I'm not sure anybody is.
Yeah.
But thank you, Nathan, for that.
I've played games before.
You played one or two, maybe.
Five.
Really, he picked up on your secret. He knows. Thank you for that, Nathan. And now it's time to take some calls. I don't know if anybody else wants to call us. 866-536-1100. But the phones are open. Tell me about your gaming pride. Tell me about the Senate hearings, whatever you want. We're going to take Mitchell from New York City. Longtime listener, eighth time caller. Mitchell, you're on the air.
It's been that many times?
I haven't kept count.
I haven't either.
I'm counting as many fingers as I have.
It's probably like the third or fourth time, actually.
So what's up? Tell me what's on your mind.
Well, I just wanted to talk about the gaming pride thing.
Yes.
Because, you know, I really agree that you should have gaming pride because, you know, it's nothing to be ashamed of. So, you know, when you're at home, you fire up the Xbox, you play a little Halo. You know, that's nothing to be ashamed of.
I agree. Now, what if I told you I fire up the guy game at least once a week?
Well, it's not exactly my type of game, but, you know, it's up to you. You can play what you want.
I gave you an opening to make fun of me, Mitch, and look what you do with it. Look what you do. You get all serious on me.
Oh, I'm too nice. I don't make fun of people who I don't know in person.
Okay. Well, when I meet you in person, then you'll be able to rag on me a bit.
Yeah, I definitely will. Don't.
But I agree with you. I think that we should take pride, and I'm upset that I haven't been more that way in the past. Really, ever since I started doing this show, I think. I feel a little bit better about it. I feel like it's really mainstream. There's a radio show. It must be good, right? Video games have taken place in the media.
Of course.
But I know, Mitch, that you certainly like games. Now, what's the genre that you play that you appreciate the most?
Well, it's kind of hard to decide. I have, like, the most fun with just the good old shoot 'em up, kill everything FPSs. But I also have a lot of fun with RTSs.
See, I just was never any good at those. They're all right, but like...
I'm really good at them, actually.
I'm ashamed because I think they're too complex for my little brain. I'm just never any good at them. Anyway, thanks for chiming in. I appreciate it, Mitch. It's always good to hear from you. And, yeah. So, Nate, I didn't ask you what your genre of choice is.
My genre?
If you feel the same way I do, that like you're particularly good at some games and you just, you know what, forget the other ones.
Well, like I said before, I'm pretty bad at all of them. I'd say I enjoy role-playing games the most, I suppose.
Another set of games that I don't really play much.
Yeah. It's the twitched gameplay that I'm just not that fast, you know.
That's the stuff I like. Fusion Frenzy and all the Xbox Live Arcade games. I love that stuff. I love Twitch games, you know. I've got the high score on our website for Pac-Man. I didn't even mention there's an arcade on our website.
Oh, there is.
Go play some games until Namco makes us take all of them down.
Well, you know, to clarify, I like playing Twitch games. I'm just saying I'm very bad at them, I don't get very far.
Gotcha. We should fire up Wick and play it networked, because I don't have a 360. We could play on the computer.
Yeah.
I wonder if you could network an Xbox Live Arcade game with a PC game. I know they're talking about networking, like, PC. Aren't they right? PC and Xbox 360 games can link up together? Am I making that up? No, it's Xbox and Xbox 360 that can link up.
Yeah.
They need to do PC and console games one day. Anyway, let's take another call. We've got Matt from Pennsylvania. I want to talk to Matt. You're on the air.
Hey, what's up?
Not too much. Tell me what's on your mind.
Well, my issue, like, I've been dealing with this for a while. Like, I used to have, like, really strong gamer pride, and, like, the problem that I've been having is the more and more that we get into the mainstreamization of games and, you know, more games are thrown into the mainstream, it seems like having gamer pride throws you in with, you know, the frat boys and, you know, the very casual gamers.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
And I felt that way, too.
Separate yourself anymore. I mean...
See, and that's the way we can separate is, first of all, by listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. I think that really should go unsaid, but I'm...
Do we need distinction in gamer pride? Like, you know, gamer pride and then real gamer pride?
See, there's the gamers...
That's how I feel. I mean, it's like, I know that I'm putting hours and hours into games that the mainstream gamer isn't playing. And it feels like when I discuss games with, you know, more casual gamers, that I don't feel as distinguished from them anymore like I used to.
So maybe we need to start being like videophiles, and like if we don't know the director of a game or the producer of the game, then you're nothing.
Exactly.
Yeah. They're posers, is what they are.
We all go around calling ourselves pixel annies.
Yeah. Who's that guy who made Pulp Fiction? What's that guy's name?
Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah.
Quentin Tarantino.
Tarantino makes the best movies ever. Like Miyamoto, he makes the wonderful game. You don't like Miyamoto, you're nothing to me.
Do you even know who Miyamoto is?
Exactly. Like, that's how you can define your gamer pride. I do think that what we need to do is start a parade with lots of bland colors and people in leather walking down the streets of San Francisco for gamer pride. I think that would
have
really...
Have you dress up as an 8-bit controller?
As what controller?
Like an 8-bit controller.
You could do that.
Yeah.
8-bit controller. You could probably dress up as a few other things, too. But anyway, it would be good.
Does it have to be in San Francisco?
It should be.
All
right. Right through the Castro District. We'll define ourselves as a culture as soon as we have a parade. Because really, you're not a subculture unless you claim that you've been socially persecuted.
Well, I think Jack Thompson has taken care of that.
Excellent. Then we can start a gamer pride parade. We like playing games, violent games or happy games. I would dress up as Hello Kitty, I think.
Okay.
And you could be a Tetris block?
Sure.
I don't know. It'd be a good time, though.
I have the personality for a Tetris block, I think.
All right. Are you calling yourself a blockhead? Is that what you're trying to get at?
Whatever.
Okay. Bye. Anyway, thank you very much, Matt, for calling in.
Thank you.
I feel your pain. It's hard sometimes to see where the industry is going, but the truth is there's more good stuff out there. It's just been diluted. But luckily, when you get to it, it's just as tasty and salty as ever.
Yep.
And so
that's
you just need...
nice, Nile, lovely metaphor.
Yeah. It's not diluted when you find it. It's just the sea of games is diluted. So
yeah.
You just need to find that gem in the rough. All right, so we've got like 2 minutes left for news. I did take some news bits down here.
I guess I have something. The DS is getting a Rumble Pack.
Yes, I had that on my list.
All right.
Only $9.99. Nintendo's great because they don't try to rape you in price.
Well... Okay, in price. Let me talk about... So the DS in Japan is scheduled to have the Opera browser for a mere $32 price tag.
But is Nintendo producing it, or is somebody else making it for them?
Cause, like, what I have here is it's... You know, Nintendo is coming out for the DS.
I think it's certainly fair to charge for software. I'm not going to complain about
that.
But
this is a little hefty for a browser.
It's a utility, man. It's no game. Not...
Well, for something I can download, you know, relatively free over the internet.
Yeah, but not for your DS, you see.
No, yeah.
They had to struggle and put it onto that little chip.
Okay. I still don't see the price warranting in a browser.
That's all right.
Hey, that's me.
You'll be able to buy a used copy when people realize that browsing on a DS is lame.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
I mean, it'll be cool to have, but, like, it's probably not going to work very well when you have your Palm Pilot or whatever. Aside from that, I mentioned the Ohioan girls last week.
Oh, yeah, they're not going to be charged now.
Not being charged. I'm glad. I expected that, but I'm certainly glad that's the case.
This is like a widespread thing. A lot of people across the country have been doing it.
Yeah, they might have even... One of them emailed me. We're going to have them on the show, but she didn't email back. I would have proposed right on the show, just like we talked about last week. I talked about last week. I don't know
yeah.
if you heard it. All right, everybody. We'll be back next week. Thank you for paying attention, for listening to the show. Go to chatterboxers.com and go check out allgames.com while you're at it. We'll be there soon. Thanks, everyone.
See you next week.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.